is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Well, that was the thing, that footage of him holding up the pants that he used to wear when he was all big and chunky. That was actually where he would hide the kids.
Whoa.
Yes.
No way. In his like little fupa pocket.
Yeah.
Because you can slap a whole embryo up under a big man's fupa pocket if you want to. And that's where I feel like us as men can truly be allies in the war against abortion, because what we can do is help people. Because what I've heard is, number thing you can do is you evict the fetus out.
Sure, it's an eviction notice.
You call your local mandrake. What's your court? What's the name of a judge?
Doctor.
You call that
you
person
call
up.
A doctor.
First of all, you're going to get a court order against the baby inside of you.
Rent's too damn high.
This is how we do it legally in the legal state.
That's
right?
Great.
And then so the police come to evict the fetus out of you.
It's really not the way
right?
it works. Yeah.
Imagine if it would.
Cartoon.
They kick the fetus out, right? Now the fetus is now homeless, right?
Yeah, it's got a little knapsack.
Yeah, absolutely. It's bindled and it's down by the tracks, right? But then what you can do is, as a bigger man, come by, scoop up the fetus, you put it underneath the fupa, and you could take it wherever you want, to any other part of the country. Because then you're allowed to, I think, put it in a trash can in a state where it's legal.
That's fantastic. It's called the old kangaroo move. And I'm just so happy that you started with that completely non-controversial intro.
Non-controversial at all,
and I think powerful.
All I know is, I'm just, our advertisers asked for more Hot Topic issues. They want more calls from various organizations. They're really, really excited for it. And that's what I provide because, again, I'm Zenry now.
Henry.
I'm calm. I'm ready to go. I'm moving forward. I knock my BP down fucking 10 points on either side.
That's actually very impressive, Henry. So you're 161-10.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what I did is then I tipped the doctor and it gave me 5 more.
Isn't that sad? Health is the only thing that you can't tip away and just sweep it under the rug.
It seems to be that's like a lesson the moneyed learn.
I want to die the way that one icon died. What was his name? Big old boy, Sopranos.
Mr. Monopoly.
Yes, he's still alive. All right, Jared Fogle boasted about sexually abusing minors in Thailand. And he
shouldn't
says,
boast.
He says, we can get away with whatever age we want. And then he said that, but now he's in jail, and I'm not sure if he mentions that anymore.
I really wish that. How did that get out?
I don't know.
From jail?
There's a new documentary. Okay, so this is the thing.
Oh, so welcome to Side Stories.
Welcome
Ben
to
Kissel.
Side Stories. I'm Ben and Henry. Thank you for taking care of that for this episode. I got Fogled. Because I also did the Subway diet. And
we
all did it.
We were all dragged into that fucking PSYOP.
All it is just eating 700 calories a day as opposed to like 2,500.
Yes. It's just
it could have been anything.
Exactly. It was calorie monitoring. And it's about portion size. And eating sometimes a less salted turkey, which I've learned.
And also not getting the meatball. I learned that the hard way. I said, I'm on the Subway diet. I'll have 2-foot-long meatballs.
That's not, again, it
can't
just
do it.
You couldn't just walk into a Subway and then whatever you ate was diet food.
No, it's absolutely not. And technically, it's not even bread. In Ireland, it has to be recorded as cake.
We know.
It is documented as cake officially because of all the carbs and sugar. But anyway, the one thing I'm just going to say about the Jared Fogle coverage is,
oh, one thing good.
They say a lot of stuff about how he skyrocketed to fame in the early 2000s. He was never like, it wasn't like Jack Nicholson, Jared Fogle.
No, he was
a pitch man who would wear big pants he used to wear. But he was never, I just feel like we're taking this word fame
very liberally.
Yes.
Yes, it is a thing that's happened over the last couple of years where it seems that people with no like discernible ability.
He wasn't even a good pitch man.
He wasn't. It's just a thing that just because they are famous and then they're equated to everybody else who's famous around.
The only thing he had to do was to not molest a series of children and then admit it on a radio show.
It's like the one thing.
That was it.
He could have done, truly, he could have killed a woman. And sure. We could have figured it out.
Could have figured it
we
out.
We could have gotten a PR team in there, and we I really could have dug it out.
I guess maybe that day he ate Arby's.
Oh, he must have been off.
We
he
have the been meats, off. A.K.A. But, the dead woman.
Absolutely. Look at O.J. Simpson weighing in on the Alec Murdoch trial. And you, this guy is now, first of all, when did he become Scatman Crothers?
Well, have you seen him? Old. I know. O.J.'s in a new face.
I'm not saying his face. I'm saying that there's a portrait behind O.J. in the video where he is very concisely wrapping up juror-like kind of mentality and what happens once a cop lies on the stand. And he's like,
he
you know, in my case, it did happen to work for me. And you're like, yeah, it did. Yeah, well, it did. It really did.
The but then, thing about O.J. is his Murdoch coverage on Twitter that he gave for three solid minutes. It was the most concise coverage I had heard yet.
It was a solid breakdown, so, which I don't like. Again, I'm not throwing to him, but still. But if you notice, if you look behind him in that footage, yeah. There's a full painting of just a naked woman.
Huh.
But you see, he came up. That's why Scatman Crothers, he's coming all the way back around, which shows anybody can figure out how to work their PR back to zero. We had to get it back, all their PR notes back up, as long as you don't fuck a child.
Mm.
And then it's the boasting. Because I said that to Fernando before we started, is that I feel like that's, of all the things that Jared Fogle is guilty of, besides just lying to us about the sandwiches, it's the hubris.
It's
the pride. I think that is that's the crime I think he should be labeled with the highest. So, and I do my utmost to try to be humble. Thinking about what I've brought and what I've given to everyone.
And it's so difficult to be humble in our position of high power with Hollywood.
Because
you remember
man.
All those times. Remember when we were at the, the Grammys yesterday? Remember when we went to that and the Oscars and stuff?
Oh, no. It was called the Slammies.
Oh.
And it was a gay sex award ceremony. And I got to say, wowie wow, bring a tarp next time.
Absolutely. So Rochelle Herrmann, she was a radio host. And she said, we need a big guest today. And so she got Jared Fogle. Because how exciting.
I feel like he's available.
He was. And this is when Jared Fogle says, we can do whatever we want. He says, it's crazy. You go over there to Thailand. You got different ages. I mean, you just sort of choose what you want and there's a price for it.
I hate this.
And then off you go.
I don't like this, Fernando.
And then he says, and then off you go. But then she said, oh, that's real creepy.
Why
and gross.
Is he still bragging? You don't off you go. You don't. Well, you actually, you don't. You end up in jail, which is where he is. He's calling from jail. You actually, can I have my music?
Well,
you actually cannot say that you got off scot-free for a crime that you committed. Right. If you are currently in a jail cell.
Well, no, this
trying
is.
Trying to.
Okay. This was previous. Jared did lose 245 pounds. Applaud. Very good. And then now, because of all of his disgusting activities, he's part of a new 3-part documentary series called Jared from Subway, Catching a Monster. And it's going to be premiering on ID. And we don't get paid to say that.
No.
But I just think that it's going to be extremely traumatizing. And if you're Subway, you know what you have to do is make this go away somehow.
I feel like
Subway. Like if you're Subway, you really got to get like,
No.
Come on.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Even Mickey. What did Mickey Mouse do? No one's talking about his Nazi years.
Kissel, I'm going to throw this to somebody else. Because you know what? Subway technically did what they did. They threw out every copy of those pants that they had in any distribution center. They burned them. I remember when we did that. So Subway did all that it can, and it's too late for Subway. Technically, this is Quiznos moment.
Wow.
And Quiznos, they need to send some form of spy into this organization, and they need to tear it apart from the inside out.
Because,
because Quiznos, number one, they had those great commercials.
Eat Quiznos subs,
right?
Because they are good for you.
Right? They already were coming out the gate. And then they had that little weird guy as their spokesperson.
Quizno.
Guess what that little Quizno never did?
What?
Had sex systematically with a bunch of children went to do sexual, as far as I know. I want to say.
Well, it's not a real thing.
Of all of the people that weren't on Epstein's flight list, I imagine the Quizno wasn't.
Mm.
I don't even think the Noid was on that list.
No, I don't think the Noid ever did anything wrong whatsoever except for deliver fast, hot pizzas right to your door.
Yes.
Of course, Domino's did have to go on and later apologize for the quality of such pizza, which then did improve.
It did.
However, now it's decreased. And you know who's back? Little Sneezers. Little Caesars Pizza is on fire. It's the best fast food pizza you can get. I've said it here and I'm not going to say it again.
Well, he will. He definitely will, because he has said it multiple times. And again, we've received not a single dime. We've not received a dime from Little Caesars.
No, sponsors are pulling at.
They are. So, people are mad. People are mad. But guess what? We're
doing
the line.
We're doing it wrong.
No. Yeah. Because it's our jobs.
Yeah.
Right. As hot shot content creators.
Yeah.
Our jobs are to push people back. We're setting the tone. All right, for the rest of the country.
Absolutely.
Which is why we, first of all, Alec Murdoch got you. They got him. Alec Murdoch was, I believe, how long did they deliberate?
It was like 2 hours.
It was like less than our podcast on David Miscavige.
It was, and he got sentenced to 2 life sentences.
Boom,
his brother.
Boom. He shaved his head. He's looking more like a fucking skinny, weird, some version of a very sick supervillain.
To be honest with you, he's going to do fantastic in jail because all of these prisoners, because
they
need legal advice.
Of course.
He's going to be busier than ever. He's going to have a little plaque outside of his jail cell. This is Murdaugh Law, and it's going to be a nightmare also, but at the same time, he'll be just fine. His brother, Alex Murdaugh's brother, says he does think Alex knows more than he's letting on.
No, no way! What?
I don't know.
No fucking way!
I don't know.
But what about the other brother that went on the stand and told us all that he pooped his fucking pants?
I'd do that for you.
If you
were charged with murder, I'd be like, one time Henry shat his pants in Philadelphia. I was there!
But the thing is, you'll know, is that I won't ever murder again because I'm calm now. And what I've done, I've chilled my blood so thoroughly, I don't even know how I'm going to continue to rant. I'm so calm now. So this was this was down in Peru. This was the delivery drivers. Now, what I do not know is that in Peru, apparently you're not allowed to, you go to a holy site there, right? If you go, like, I don't know if this is true for every country, there's a ruins, right? And all that kind of shit. Where you go and you go to this, like, a beautiful kind of historical site, but you're not allowed to drink on site.
Like alcohol or water?
Yes, they're not. And so this guy... They found this guy. They saw him. He was drinking alcohol. You're allowed to drink water, but he was drinking alcohol, right? He was just hanging out by some ruins.
Well, most holy sites, most religions allow some kind of alcohol for religious ceremony.
SidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Explain to us. I actually don't know why we're not allowed to drink alcohol at this place, but he was, they saw him there, right? They saw that he was drinking next to this historical kind of religious site.
Sure.
And then they had a bag with them. They said they want to check the bag. And the bag was from a takeout restaurant that's big there called Perdidas Ya.
Oh, Perdidas Ya. Right?
Yeah, yeah. So they were like, oh, okay. And they opened up, and what they found inside of was a 600 to 800-year-old mummy, which was, it's a 40.
Wait a second, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How big is this mummy, man?
4'11".
He got a 4'11" mummy in a to-go bag right? from a fast food joint. How much food are people ordering from this spot?
I don't really know. They said they showed the skeleton in the bag. They went up to the guy. They said, "Hey, what is this?" And they said, "What is it?" They thought, because first of all, they're
the
like
number 5 with a Diet Coke and some fries.
But they went to look at right. And they're like, "Oh, okay. Why do you have this? Did you steal this from this place?" Or is there? He's like, "No. I did not steal this. No. That is Juanita." And they're like, "What? That's Juanita?" And you're like, yes, see. He says, it sleeps in my bedroom with me. Yes, there is my bed. There's the TV set. And next to it, there's Juanita.
Well,
I take care of it.
Nice.
He said that it's running his family for 30 years and he takes care of it. And he says, and according to his words, he said, I don't know why he said pardon the expression, but he said, it's like, if you'll pardon the expression, as if it were my spiritual girlfriend. Right.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Like,
he says a spiritual girlfriend.
But guess what, man?
What?
It's not a mummy.
Oh.
It's a daddy. Oh. They went and they looked at it, and guess what? It's dude.
Well, you can be a dude mummy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But he was calling it Juanita, and he's saying that he's kissing and loving
Buddy,
on this thing.
Post-death.
But then
are we still going to be doing this post-death?
All I'm saying, I hope we all get more woke when we die.
Mm-hmm.
And allow ourselves to be truly, truly of any type of gender. But he's fucking a dude.
Well, I don't think he's having sex with the mummy. It would dissolve around.
He called it a girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's doing something.
You've never had
with
a loveless
it.
Girlfriend relationship where you have a girlfriend and you don't have sex with them? I think it's happened before to all of us.
Yoink. Yoink. Someone mark me as red.
But I will say, it does look as if the mummy is about to give birth. The legs are up. The knees are at its shoulder.
No, it's just squished.
It's squished. Yes,
yeah, it wasn't a mid-birth. Yeah, I don't
but
think it was.
But the thing that I like about this guy is, he brought his girlfriend, yes, it's a male mummy, to work with him because he was a delivery driver. And isn't that nice when you call up Uber Eats and you say, man, my Carl's Jr. smells like, whoa, was there a dead person in that guy's car? You know, because it smells a little funny.
You're full of it today.
I am full of it. But then it turns out, yes, there was a 600 to 800 year old mummy in that delivery person's car. This is why I don't knock on their doors. I don't knock on the window. The delivery driver, that's their office.
Oh, sure.
The car is their office.
It's their home, absolutely.
Oftentimes it's their home. And so I don't invade that. That's like knocking on the door of your boss. You know, if the office door is closed, you don't come and knock it, you know.
That is not even a saying.
With Matt Lauer there.
He tried to. Matt Lauer was committing crimes.
Yeah, maybe.
This mummy, he said he tried to give it to a museum and they wouldn't take it.
Well, it's because the mummified male is estimated to have been more than 45 years of old.
Yes.
But I don't think that the museum wants it. Because it's old goods.
Yeah, it's garbage.
The museum is like, yeah, you fucked this so many
times. Did you hear what the Peruvian mummy said about his trip down to the tourist spots? You already said it.
What
about it?
What did he say about
it? He says it wasn't all that it's wrapped up to be.
Yep, indeed.
Can I have my music,
so,
please?
So, Juanita.
What I need you guys all to understand is that
Juanita needs a new boyfriend.
I'm changed. Because I'm now as calm as I am. My humor may change.
Make it worse.
You say worse. I say
calm.
Modern. Because not what's modern. Not what's better than a modern comedy?
That wasn't modern.
What I love about modern comedy is the fact that it mostly makes you feel bad about watching it. Because it's kind of lecturing you about what you should find funny. And that's what we plan to do a lot more around here. Think about Hillary Clinton, how we did her wrong.
I think someone every else just recently died in her orbit.
Every day I shed one tear wondering if Hillary Clinton's okay. She's going to run again.
Can't wait.
Live from your grave.
Okay, well, let's move on. An ex-army private. He got 45 years in prison for
this. Another story we have to wait on because I told you we're doing an entire episode in this whole thing.
We can't talk about this right now.
It is extremely thick, complicated story.
Guy got 45 years because you got mad at his troop.
He got mad at his paratroop
because he
was indoctrinated by the Order of the Nine Angles, and he was
That's an angle.
It's an entire. It's nine.
I was going to be more.
It's nine angles. Please, Fernando.
Okay.
We did a rundown right before the show.
No, I know. It's just, it seems like...
No, because it's a very complicated story. It's a lot of ins and outs. And every single time somebody gets mad.
No one's ever mad. No one's ever mad. Okay. Well, then let's do something in my wheelhouse. Disney had pulled the song lyrics from Song of the South. They pulled the word zippity-doo-da.
I can't. This is another.
Isn't that exciting?
We're just going to lose everything.
Zippity doodah. No longer lose everything. I don't know why.
We're going to lose everything.
That's gone.
Yeah, it's just a whole cultural thing. It's a whole thing.
All right, here we go. Maybe you'll like this story, Henry.
Oh, God.
Mom shot family minutes before deputies arrived to evict them from their foreclosed Ohio township home.
You know what?
Do you like this?
Joke's on you. I love this story.
It's fantastic. Teresa Kane, she shot her family members, killing three of them minutes before deputies were coming.
It's enough with these Ohio train wrecks.
That's good. Man, your blood pressure must be real nice.
My blood pressure this morning actually was at 40 over negative 5.
The sheriff was Steve Leahy. Perhaps he was drunk like Mr. Leahy from Trailer Park Boys.
Well, this story is interesting. This story is interesting because... Again, what do we have? Teresa Kane, an Ohio mom. She was facing eviction. I don't know what happened. There's not a lot of details quite yet.
She couldn't pay rent.
She couldn't pay rent.
Yeah, that's why you evicted.
And I feel like no one in the family knew that she couldn't pay rent. Right?
I think they found out probably the hard way.
Well, because what happened was that she waited up to a period of time when they were getting notices, they were getting eviction notices, and then as the eviction police were hanging out, the eviction police probably love this.
It's just the sheriff.
They're whatever it is, right? But then she murdered her entire family and then killed herself, except for the one of her daughters escaped. One her kid lived. So the mother killed her husband, Stephen Kane. Then the son, Ethan Kane. And then the elderly father, William Fenton, who was in the house. William Felton.
I would name my kids Michael and Dean if my last name was Kane.
Of course, absolutely.
Michael Kane, Dean Kane.
No.
Actor, Superman.
No, Kane. Everybody's named Kane. Kane two. And that's how we do it. We can't keeping it fun, doing something different.
Kane.
Okay, as the eviction police were arriving.
It's just the sheriff.
They just heard. I thought that they sent special guys in. I thought they sent guys with swinging maces and then really, a guy with a big net.
It's like super brutal. And like cops are like, I came here to defend the law and to help people. But then it's like,
you go kick people out of their homes.
You just kick people out of your homes. That's what you do there. So a deputy knocked on the front door. And then the back door, no one answered. And then the deputy stepped inside the home and called out, hey, hello. And then he heard a muffled, no, 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 no.
Very good.
And then it was followed by a very fast succession of gunfire.
Yes.
So he also heard the gunshots.
Yes.
She fired 5 gunshots in just under 3.5 seconds.
And this is why you never teach your wife how to shoot a gun.
When deputies were able to safely venture further into the home, they found her dead, along with a 13-year-old son and her 74-year-old father.
But the kid,
that's very sad.
I believe the 20-year-old daughter, Samantha Kane, she lived and she remains in critical condition. But it shows more, because what do we learn about family annihilators? The more and more you look at it, is like, yes, first of all, good work, girls, you got one. I'm so glad the ladies finally got one for the mothers, but it's the same conditions. It is what we are extremely afraid of in the United States of America in particular. Not only do we have easy access to the guns that allows you to murder a group of people in a very quick succession, but also the idea that once you're put into a certain economic place, that you're fucked. Right. She looked at this as a set of conditions, which, like, I mean, again, we always are going
to
say,
I love that you're trying to circle this back, not just into gallows humor, but to make a nice social commentary.
It's a cogent point. Right?
It's a cogent point. But you know what? The most interesting thing is her husband, Stephen.
But it's about conditions. Annihilations are about conditions way more than about specific mental illness.
Sometimes people are just assholes.
Sure. Absolutely. But you have to be an asshole to kill your family. That's baked in.
Maybe they just said Subway that day. Stephen Kane, he was the dad. He was just on the couch downstairs.
Yeah, man.
So what was he doing to pay the goddamn rent?
Wow. Wow.
The sheriff said their investigation determined that she did shoot him first.
Yes, she shot him first.
He wasn't just lying there. He was dead.
It is because Alec Murdoch, again, that story is the story of a family annihilator that now we have seen it splay all completely out. Like, we now see all the in and outs of like someone's fall from grace. But this is somebody, Teresa Kane, who was just a normal mom that had the same set of circumstances where they, I am going to go out on a limb and say that if you are a family annihilator, I don't think you necessarily came upon all of your issues by like everybody else's fault. That's something like a family annihilator would probably say, blame the whole world, saying you've made me do this because no one's making you do this. But it is interesting to see.
Sometimes they do blame others and don't take responsibility.
That's why it's don't kill your family. Just abandon them.
Absolutely.
Just go, run.
Abandon them.
Just run. Just get in a car. You could drive down to Mexico.
Sure.
You could fucking like do your whole thing. Go down. Like, you can live a whole life apart from your family. Let them live.
The kids will say, I was abandoned, but then they're going to turn into great entertainers.
Absolutely. Make them want it. You need the void to be successful in this country. And I see that, you know, I was watching the new Next in Fashion show. I love my fashion shows.
I didn't know that.
I love all the fashion shows. I love
Next in Fashion.
Yes. I love fashion shows because I love seeing how incorrect I am about what is fashion. Like, I love being like, I like that thing. I think like it's fun.
They don't want you to wear those things. They don't. No. That's for them. If you start dressing like that, then they're going to change the fashion.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Right.
That's our revenge against the young is that we steal it from them and we make it not relevant anymore. But there was this one girl, her name is Amari. She's a wonderful designer on it. And she was complaining about how much pressure her military parents gave her. The whole time I was watching, I was like, that's good. I'm glad they put you under that pressure. Because now look at you. You're crushing it in design, right?
Right.
Yeah, everyone was mad before. They didn't love me. They didn't fucking hug me. Yeah, fucking me too, dude.
Now,
you don't think my fucking father wasn't fucking around either, dude?
Well,
but you need that fucking layer of grit to give you a chip on your shoulder that allows you to move upwards.
There's a lot of very successful people with completely normal, loving childhoods.
I fucking don't believe that.
There are.
I refuse to believe that, please.
There are. Stephen and Teresa Kane purchased a two-story, three-bedroom.
Because if you are a successful child,
what, just
be a doctor. don't get into show business. Do anything else.
They do often. They do. They do. Yeah, there's a lot of great people with great family stories in show business.
I refuse to believe it.
Jonah Hill. Look at him.
Yeah, his parents were completely embedded in show business. He was acting since he was a child.
Exactly. I've never heard him say one damn bad thing about him. Stephen and Teresa Kane purchased a two-story, three-bedroom home in 1990 for $212,000. What a time, huh? Look at those prices. Look at those prices. $212,000 for a two-story, three-bedroom?
Well, guess what? She fucked it up. Well, she now she killed her whole fucking family and herself. And it's not good.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Oh, man, that's scary, though. Especially coming from mom. Except we were scared of my mom, so I don't know.
Yeah, I actually think there is something more scary about it coming from mom, but also like more calming because you were already like with your mother in the womb and you're like, okay, mom.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I'm
kill
a mama's
me.
Boy, so I'd be like, all right, mom.
All right, mom, I guess I should die.
I guess I should die now. But she would never do that to me. She would just take me to Piggly Wiggly and kill me slowly with diabetes, although she was
the
very
good way.
Good.
That's the good true way. Loving way. We actually have a good, there's a little bit of a tease before an upcoming big interview we have is that we got Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp just went and put out another video footage they dropped. It's this thing that they're calling the Baghdad Cylinder. And it is this really, if you look this up, it's very, very interesting. They dropped this new, this is footage over Baghdad of a, it's pretty solid.
I love that song, Cylinders Over Baghdad.
Cylinders Over Baghdad. This is good. The Baghdad Phantom is what they're calling it. If you see this, there's like a line, it's like a kind of little propulsion line coming up in the back
propulsion.
Of this. If you see this, it's like a cylinder. It looks like a bullet and it flew across these radar screens that
it's
were during
pretty,
a raid.
If you look hefty. At this,
it's hefty. It's real. It's something strange. I mean, who knows now? Because now we're supposed to be shooting them out of the sky, right? That's like the new thing now. We're going to be shooting them out of the sky. If we find them, we're shooting them.
I have.
Because you notice we have not shot anything since 2 weekends ago.
It's 14 days ago.
Yeah.
It's like not a lot of time.
It's plenty of time.
Yeah, but.
We're expected to put out episodes every week.
Yeah, but
they need to be shooting down objects all the time.
No, we want this show to be able to be all about fun times.
You're right.
But anyway, balloon enthusiasts are quite upset because everyone's just shooting their fucking balloons out of the sky.
I know, but they
so you can also
some
just
of these
like
balloons. People want the stolen valor moment.
They do want a little bit of that.
These fucking balloon whores. Yeah, I'm going that far. I'm going that hard. All they want is to have their precious balloons be in the middle of the mainstream media. Right? But it wasn't balloons. It was
one
of tunnel objects.
One of them was a balloon.
It was balloon-like.
No, the Chinese balloon.
That was one. That was a
that
balloon.
That was a balloon. Yeah,
that was a balloon. The solid. Other ones were specifically not balloons.
Well, either way. All right. So
I am great.
You are going nuts today.
I'm feeling
let's see.
It.
Well, there's two people that appeared in court on kidnapping charges. This one woman went to go sell him her AR-15. AR stands for Armalite.
Thank you.
And so she was going to go sell him this Armalite thing. And then they were like, oh, thanks for the gun. And then they kidnapped her.
Yep.
So I guess she should have kept the gun.
Well, it's really hard because didn't she... Isn't the story that she took the guns to sell four drugs?
Yeah, $300. Yeah, she owed an out of state drug dealer $300.
You see, that's very difficult. But then she was gonna then she stole his gun to sell, and then she got kidnapped trying to sell the gun. Now it feels like this woman's got a lot on her plate. And I'm fucking very, very busy as well. I get it. So, but you sounds know what like, you need to do? You know what this woman needs?
What?
Google Calendar.
Yeah, that's
she needs
true.
Contact sync because sounds like there's something that's fell in the wayside here. She needs to be Lincoln and Siri. She needs to talk to Siri.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Siri, somebody, because obviously she doesn't have anybody in her life that's helping her with good advice.
Yes, indeed.
Because this is like a lot of things have happened to lead to the point where you're stealing a gun to pay a drug dealer for lost drugs.
I think that's what one of our Uber drivers was doing on the way to Iowa.
Oh, I remember.
Yes,
yeah,
he was
yeah.
sweating.
Oh, that was scary.
Yeah,
that was
we really, almost all died.
That was
we
really fucking. That was a dude that had worked all night at the Pacers game.
That's what he said.
He says that he was up all night working, quote unquote, security at a Pacers game.
I don't think any of it's
and
true.
Then, I don't know what it was, but then he was driving real erratic. And then I remember I went to go piss at the urinal, and then our driver got into the urinal next to me, and he was like, "Yep, yep, I'm in Indy right now." Yeah, I mean, we were 3 hours from Indianapolis.
At least.
And he was just like, yeah, yeah, I'm right there right now. Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you at my house. And he was like saying this shit. And you're like, what is your whole, like, the wire life? You have a whole, like, weird kind of true. There's obviously true crime is attached to you.
Yes, indeed.
Live from your grave.
So Mac Varnum and Nicole Cloutier, they're both of Peachum. They kidnapped this woman. They bound her in duct tape, put a bag over her head, and then placed a rag with chemicals on it around her face and drove around with her in a truck before the woman was able to get free. According to the prosecutor in charging documents, Varnum...
I feel like everybody's in trouble in this scenario.
Yes.
I feel like this scenario, everybody's in trouble because the guys that kid... So these are the people that are arrested for kidnapping the woman that stole the gun from them.
So Varnum expressed outrage and said he wanted to kill the woman who had been living with him after she allegedly took his truck to get drugs and had stolen and sold his Armalite 15 rifle.
Life is really hard. Love is hard, especially. And you really have to remember, in marriages, when it comes down to it, 50%. Everything's 50-50.
50-50.
And in that relationship, yes, you might have both been sort of intoxicated, sleeping in a flop house, like next to each other. But in that way, because you ever seen The Romance of Junkies?
Is it a movie? Or?
No, no, like just seeing like junkies in love on the street.
No, I don't.
That kind of passion.
Well, I've
the passion that comes from two people actively on heroin or methamphetamine and
yes,
like how
nice
they
tent,
feel.
Like, yeah, I've seen, sure. Yeah.
It's that love. There's drama in there. It's like Real Housewives.
Drama.
Real Housewives of fucking the 101.
There's a lot of drama.
It's incredible to see. Yeah, because this seems like I wish I could get a counselor in there because I really think that what they need is a roundtable discussion with Andy Cohen. Somebody to really ask them the questions, being
tough
like,
questions.
But what is it? Why was the gun so special to you?
Well, the woman told the police that about a month earlier, she and two other people had stolen the AR-15 from Varnum. They sold it for $300 to an out-of-state drug dealer, which, let's be honest, that's a steal for a fucking AR.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you're buying it from a desperate junkie, and it's a hot rifle that then you can use in a series of crimes.
She stated that Varnum was upset about his gun being sold and that she was supposed to get the AR back, but she couldn't because
it's gone now. It's been used for crimes. It's being sent someplace else. Or I guess it could be turned into an ironic, like, candy jar.
I have no
but
idea.
But I don't think it is.
Well, you can, you know, mix your sodas with it or
on average, an AR-15 costs $850. I actually didn't know that.
Still relatively cheap, isn't it?
It's so, kind of skits. I don't like that. It should be more expensive than that.
Well, okay.
I bought an iPad for like $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no constitutional right to an iPad,
I guess. But actually, the pen is mightier than the sword. So I bet I could do so much more with my incendiary ideas on the internet.
That's why I just keep on, when they're like, sign this document, I just shoot it with my Armalite 15.
Do you have an AR-15?
No, I don't particularly want one. If I got a big gun, it would be a Magnum. It would be huge.
Yeah.
It would have exactly 6 bullets in it.
Yeah, cool.
And I'd be ready to use one special one just for me.
I just want a tank. We know that.
Yeah, I know.
I've been talking. I was looking with Marcus.
City Street's still not good enough for tanks.
Can we buy an LPN or like backhoe?
Well, we could buy a backhoe.
I was trying to figure out. I wanted to buy a backhoe.
Yeah.
Because the idea of like.
But you can't. But that's not. That's well. It's not like fun. And
yeah,
really,
it is. For when the shit goes down.
Yeah, but it
when the shit goes down, we got
no
our fucking bug
capability.
Out video. It's $15,000 for a backhoe.
Yeah,
man.
But it has no offensive capability.
No, yeah, it does. Well, it's about spinning. The whole point is again, make them shoot you, right? Like you have to make sure you're not aggressively attacking the police. They're attacking the backhoe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know how well farmers do in war. Judging by Ukraine, not like great, but so Varnum, he'll be appearing in court and then he says he's not going to enter a plea until he gets there. Cause he really wants to, that's the cliffhanger.
That's wonder what he's going to say. In
and
there.
Then Cloutier, they pleaded not guilty Monday during her arraignment on the charges of kidnapping. The investigation began at 11:30 AM. And that's when there was a report of a woman in a vehicle whose hands were bound together with duct tape. So they didn't do a good job. And the woman also had a bag.
I feel like they were letting emotions take over.
I also think that they just like had her in the back of a car where the cars have windows.
Again, that's what I'm saying. They weren't thinking clearly because they were so sad that I guess that they're because maybe well, according to here, it says that the AR-15 was given to the man. It was given to him for his fifth birthday. And it was like it was his childhood AR-15. And he was very, very upset that it was gone.
Ducky.
Yeah. And he hit so sad because, yeah, think about the emotional quotient. He was just so overwhelmed.
Yeah. Apparently, she was in the back of a Toyota pickup. And then the woman told police that Claudia and Barnum, when they bound her, they said that they were going to kill her with gas.
Yeah, I bet so. Again, everyone's mad.
I don't know. According to the
charging
documents.
Everyone's really, really upset.
Yeah, she stated that while we were going down the road, he pulled over and put a rag over her face that smelled like spray paint. I don't think that these people know what they're doing.
I am thinking, again, everybody is being rash.
And then she stated she pretended to pass out. And then that's when Varnum taped her even more and put a bag over her head.
There's a group of...
What was that movie?
The brightest group of you. That Nick Cage...
I was thinking of Thank You for Smoking.
Yes, just Thank You for Smoking stupid, is great.
It's everyone really is so dumb.
But I was thinking of Trapped in Paradise, yeah, which is also great. Before we end...
Anyway.
Before we begin your segment, these people, I'm certain their lives are going to be great. But I wanted to start a debate with you, Kissel, on this subject, because I don't know where you stand, because this is a subject that I find really weird, and I don't know how I feel. Maybe I'm just reading too far into it.
Is this the Disneyland removing the zippity-doo-dah lyrics?
I feel like, again, that's a whole other... feel like it's like a 45-minute video that we're featured in, where it's just like us, again, just looking like how Scientology painted us, with like the faces red and devil horns and stuff.
Hate.
So the story. So the Kansas Humane Society...
Yes.
What they're doing a fundraiser, and they're doing it, and it's this thing, this funny little thing.
Yes.
And they're doing a fundraiser,
and
it's called Only Paws, and what they're doing is selling feet pics of dogs.
I think it's absolutely disgusting, and I think the people behind this need to be arrested.
Look, you see how it's blurred out, right? So they're doing this thing where they're blurring out the feet. Now, I know that that's a cute internet thing to do now.
OnlyFans, I get it.
They sell the feet, Only Paws.
Yeah.
It says for every $100, people donate to Only Paws, a nonprofit shelter based in Wichita.
Right.
It's going to release a quote-unquote, this is according to Kansas.com, a fascinating website. It's called a collection of our spiciest toe beans from a variety of species.
I think they should all be arrested.
They said all the notions are going to support the quote unquote sexy animals in their care.
Makes me disgusted.
Now, this is my thing. Again, they're not inherently sexual. These are cute in its way, right?
They're animals.
I like toe beans.
I love cats. I love dogs. I love all animals, to be honest.
Can I have you say on mic, I do love toe beans.
I don't know what a toe bean is.
A toe bean is These are toe beans. These are toe beans.
I'd have to get to know it first.
This is a toe bean. That's a toe bean.
Oh, it's the thing on, it's the paw.
It's a toe bean.
That's called a paw.
Hey, well, will you please say, I do love toe beans?
I feel like you're setting me up for
something. I'm not. There's nothing secondary.
I don't love them.
I love a cute animal's paw.
Cat. No, they're utility. That's like me saying like, oh, I love your bottom of your foot. No, it just supports you. I like that it helps the dogs run or cats run and pounce.
But you don't find toe beans to be specifically enjoyable.
Animals to be sexually attractive.
I'm not saying that you're hard for the toe bean.
Well, that's what this is implying.
Well, what it's saying...
I think this is actually very misguided.
No. But this is according to the Kansas Humane Society.
Because
this is one of their posts.
The reason you get a cat or a beagle chihuahua like I have is to kill squirrels and rats.
But I want, again, to throw it to our audience. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. How do we feel about this? Again, it's not inherently... Does this sound inherently sexual to you? What kind of spices are on these beans? Because this comes from a social media post from the Kansas Humane Society. What kind of spices are on these beans? Because these paws are on fire. Fire emoji, fire emoji. You still have a chance to help pets and see more saucy pics just like these by donating to our original fundraiser post. And it has that emoji face up. That one, right?
No, it's disgusting.
Now,
and
we
still have some pretty
scandalous pet peats waiting for you. #OnlyPaws.
Oh my God, no. This better be a catfishing.
But now, this you look at this now here.
Chris Hansen needs to like be like, hey,
again,
do you want a cookie?
I'm going to do a little bit of just saying straight up, Kansas Humane Society has never once said to have sex with these animals. They've not said to masturbate to these, all right? Again, because some people love toe beans. Now, this another one says, we just broke 3,000K. Let's fluffing go. You guys deserve a wiener dog, corgi, a pig, tongue out with crossed feet pics. Now, you see, what I find the weirdest is this one picture of a pig's butt. Right now, you see a pig's butt there, and you see these other beans.
Dude, I'm from Wisconsin. Every year, there's a fucking story about somebody fucking a goddamn cow or a pig.
Of course.
This is not good.
Now, they're saying that other people are sending in their cat and dog feet pics as well.
Why?
Which I think is fine. They raised 15 grand.
I don't give a fuck, bro.
I just wonder because, yes, of course. Does part of it make every particle of my body like cringe?
It is disgusting. Yes.
But their other thing is that, again, it's not inherently sexual.
It is because they're making it.
To be splayed out. I mean, it'd be different if they said, like, check out this corgi's wide gaping holes.
That's what they're doing,
but
dude.
But I'm saying, no, if it said
I've talked about this on our Scientology episodes. The sexualization of the corgi. Corgi butts drive me nuts. It's disgusting.
I'm just saying, again, I do understand you like the dog. I do feel, you know, Wendy's got her little butt.
Yes.
But again, no one said anything about holes. No one said anything about sucking action.
No, but feet are notoriously sexual.
People
love feet.
Maybe that's your
fetish.
Bias. You're saying some people. I'm not a foot person either.
I mean, I like a lot weirder stuff than that.
But I do. What? Like what?
Kneecaps.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a big kneecap person. No, actually, that is true.
I like hands. I like a nice set of hands.
Women like hands.
Preferably attached.
Women like big hands.
I like a work in my hands.
Women see hands as penises.
They better. They do. It's half. It's most of my penis is my hands, right? And then you've got the feet. I don't really understand. I mean, but at the same time, if you have all jacked up feet, I don't like it. But I don't like. It depends on how.
Deal breaker.
But yeah, if you have like mashed up toes, I think it'd be weird. I mean, I don't want to look
then
at
there
them.
There were many cultures where that wasn't that appreciated.
Beautiful. Everyone is beautiful. I'm reminding our audience, no matter what, there's somebody out there, no matter what, will fuck you. And that's really, really important for you to remember is that you could go out tonight and get railed no matter what you look like, because there is a fucking sternum for every throat.
But I think it's great that the Wichita Humane Society has raised some money. I wish that they didn't do it with such a disgusting tongue-in-cheek.
It's the only method. Pause thing, yes. I guess that's what makes it sexual, is calling it the only pause thing, because people are masturbating to those versions of feet pics. And if you were selling a bunch of, like, if this was an orphanage and you were selling a bunch of kids.
It'd be illegal. It'd be illegal.
That's, I feel like, is the one of the big differences. Is that if it was like an old folks home.
Old, sure.
If it was hospice.
I don't know.
Trying to sell feet pics of all these fucking dying cancer patients.
I spend the majority of my day cuddling dogs, but it's just not the idea of even remotely coming close to sexualizing any of
but
that.
But again, it's that the posts aren't sexual. They're cute because people like toe beans.
Okay, let's go on to Hero of the Week. So Blaine Parker, yeah, he's not the fucking hero, okay?
No, never. Never a man.
But he found a big clam on the Florida coast and wanted to turn it into clam chowder.
All right, so
now,
guys,
this clam.
So first of all, just understand before we start, this is all about this hero is a clam. It's a literal actual clam.
So the name of the clam is his new friend, Aber Clam Lincoln. And also, don't forget to listen to my podcast. And he said, Parker found this clam. It's 214 years old.
How does he know?
Because he asked it.
He asked you look at his driver's license?
It was born in 1809. Yeah, it had a little buggy driver's license. And a Florida man and his family, they found this gigantic clam at Alligator Point in Florida.
This was broken by the Tallahassee Democrat.
The Tallahassee Democrat, because nothing else is going on in Florida.
Nope.
And this is honestly when you're no longer allowed to blog about any
this is what all of their news is going to turn into. Yeah.
This is going to be all the news we get from Florida. So Blaine Parker, he told the Tallahassee Democrat that he found the clam over President's Day weekend. Aber Clam Lincoln. And look at that. He thought, this clam's big enough for two full servings of chowder.
It's just one clam.
So it is, and that's why it's so amazing it could have two full servings of chowder from it.
It just doesn't make any sense.
We were just going to eat it, but we thought about it a while and figured it was probably pretty special. so we didn't want to kill it.
It's just a clam.
So Parker, a member of the volunteer group,
I don't
AmeriCorps,
even understand. It's just a big clam.
He ended up bringing the clam to the Gulf Specimen Marine Lab in Penciaya, Florida.
This is a lot of work.
And Parker.
So they took the clam to go age it?
The lab realized that Parker indeed found a 6-inch, 2.6-pound clam, estimated to be 214 years old. The clam is fucking huge, and he's happy to be holding it. And
oh, yeah, he is happy to be holding it. The way he is holding it. It looks like he's just getting married.
Yes, it looks like he found a big-ass clam.
Well, I'm looking at the world's biggest clam.
The lab wrote, age can be calculated by the number of layers on the shell, with each layer representing a year. Blaine counted 214 layers on Abraham Lincoln's shell, meaning this clam was born in 1809, the same year as Abraham Lincoln, hence its name, Abraham Lincoln.
I think that that's really nice.
And isn't that fun? So the lab added that most ocean quahog clams weigh about 0.5 pound.
Whoa.
And this one, of course, weighed a lot
more.
Now,
this is the quahog, right? World's biggest quahog clam, right?
Well,
now
it was in 2006.
Yeah, it's in right here. The quahog, man, oh, he's like, holy moly, that's a big quahog, according
that's
to the University of Rhode Island.
One.
And they said they found one that was, it was 7.75 ounces?
It was nicknamed Ming.
Whoa.
And it was estimated to be alive in 1499 during the Ming Dynasty.
But is it still alive?
I believe it's dead. So... there you go.
This is the thing. So the clam, during the process of, let me just ask. So in the process of taking this clam out of the water to take it down to go look how old is it, died.
No, I think this one's still alive.
There's no way it's still alive.
No, clams, dude, clams are resilient. That's why it's fucking 200 years old.
Yeah, because it was in the water.
No, they can keep it in the water. You just got to count the stupid-ass rings on it.
Live outside. I don't think that that is true.
They can live outside the water, I bet you, for a month and a half.
2 weeks out of the water.
There you go.
I just feel like they took it out and then they killed it.
They didn't kill it. They left it alone.
All right, hey.
I mean, I don't think he made clam chowder out of it.
No, he didn't make clam chowder out of it. And then he's just going to keep it on his fucking, he's going to keep it on his mantle.
Because to be honest with you, it probably doesn't taste very good.
Pocahontas was wrong. That's what shows us. It just shows you again. Pocahontas.
What does it have to do with her?
I'm just saying, man.
What was she wrong about?
Look, this man just took a piece of the very nature itself. Now it just became a fucking paperweight in his house. That was a 214-year-old clam with bills. And now it's just a paperweight in this man's fucking house.
They're going to put it somewhere that hopefully it can live.
Where you throw it back? No, it's dead.
It's not dead. It's still alive.
Do we know this to be certain?
Yeah, because otherwise it wouldn't be fucking Hero of the Week.
Is Abraham Lincoln still alive?
Yeah, it is. And it's reproducing.
No, not Abraham Lincoln. You fucking know. Not Abraham Lincoln, Google. Abraham Lincoln.
Google sucks, dude.
Fuck you, fucking Google. How dare you? How dare you think I type in Abraham Lincoln?
I read an article recently. Google was like, maybe I'm not so sure about the AI, Google, that they're creating the end of the fucking world.
Well, I watched a new thing. There was a little expose talking about AI-led chatbots for Bing.
I know all about it.
They're not ready.
Buddy,
we're not ready for primetime.
They're going to be here in 2 months. They'll be ready.
I mean, who knows? I'm getting reservations, that's all that matters.
All right. Well, let's go on to emails.
Yeah.
Remember when emails were a new thing?
I remember.
My first email address was in 2000.
Oh, sure. I think mine was in, that's a long time ago. Mine was in high school. Mine was definitely before that.
Mine was freshman year of college.
That was your first email address?
Yeah, what was the point?
I had one when I was younger because I was meeting all these great young kids online. Oh, man, a lot of these meetups. You'd be surprised. Their dads would show up instead.
Yeah, some about Subway sandwiches. Yeah.
Being like getting taught how to fuck by this guy I just met.
Weird.
All right, here comes some listener emails. Now, what's scarier than losing your wedding ring? I don't know.
Like so many things.
It's one of the biggest scares.
So many fucking things. That's not even in the top 1,000 things.
You know what's hard about losing a wedding ring is that it's the symbolism attached to the ring. So it's not just a normal thing.
No, you buy a new one, but then you build new memories, and it's still just an object.
I'll call you. If it ever happens to me again, I'll call you.
Have you lost it before?
No, but I almost lost it once. It's a thing, but this is a story.
All right, but your love is more powerful than a ring.
And Natalie can't wait for that call. I can't wait to have you, to patch you in. Be like, and baby, here is my dude lawyer. Ben Kissel.
Who cares?
Come back.
Is his dick the same? Did his balls change? He didn't lose those.
Here we go. I've been married 3 goddamn times. times. I say I added the goddamn.
Oh, you know, that's good.
The first time to a woman who was named Catherine when I was too young at 21. We met working at the same restaurant in Victoria, though she was a Vancouver gal at heart. And we eventually moved to Vancouver before getting married so that she could attend Emily Carr and I could start my undergrad at UBC. Now, when I proposed, Catherine wanted me to do the traditional thing and ask her dad's permission. I wasn't crazy about it and agreed.
Really good, yeah.
Right? And when I asked him, he answered by giving me his wedding ring. And he's saying I should use it to marry his daughter.
Ugh, no. Right?
This was Keith, an immense man of Scottish heritage, with Popeye forearms from working on the owner and as the skipper of a couple of different commercial fishing boats. Now, he couldn't wear the ring while working on the boat, so he said, you might as well use it.
I don't want to use it.
And we had it's a like big traditional weird. Wedding. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
It's Canadian. And I indeed used the ring. Now, we need to flash forward about 4 years. Catherine graduated from Emily Carr, specializing in computer animation, graphic design. Who cares? Catherine's fucking gone, man.
Yeah, let right? Catherine go,
you
let dude. Her,
you fucking, who
it's
cares?
Wife number one. You got right. two more to go.
Fuck her, dude. Yeah. All right? She broke your fucking heart, dude. We don't need to hear because maybe. Especially find out she'd been having an affair with her boss the entire time, so they got divorced.
That'll happen.
All right? Yeah. No kids. I kept a boat. She kept the car, right?
That's what he did. Lost that one.
Unfortunately, because a car is more useful than a boat, but I can see how a boat helps you go away from your problems easier.
Yeah, but we don't live in a river world.
Right? So. Not anymore. Our month or so went by, and one summer night, I was sitting on the stern of my boat, having a beer and a smoke after evening up at the marina pub, playing in a weekly darts tournament. It was calm and warm with a fat moon. And my gaze regarded the wedding ring that I was still wearing. Now, why were you still wearing it, man?
I don't know.
He said, you know, I didn't want her back. I was glad it was over. It was true that I like the ring and I like wearing it, but it was time to move on.
Right.
Right. Impulsively, I took it off and then I threw it in the river.
You threw right? it.
Now,
right
I could
there.
Still hear the splash and recall the spreading ripples throughout the reflected moonlight. And good riddance, I thought.
Uh-huh.
That fucking cheating bitch.
Wow.
Left me living on a fucking boat.
Well,
oh, no, I got to live on a fucking boat. Like I'm some kind of fucking fish.
Could have pawned it, maybe bought a car.
No, I just improvised all I didn't say.
I know, but he huh? shouldn't.
So time went by. About a year later, I met a new
he
someone.
He did throw it into the lake.
He did.
Yeah.
So right now, sometime after that, I moved into her place and we sold the boat because that's what a new wife is going to make you do. And then this was Aileen, perhaps the most upbeat and gregarious person I've ever known. Still second wife, so it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter.
You know there's one more coming.
It's like, yeah. like, we know that there's another coming.
I think he's really attached to his wives.
So she said, one day I get a call from Catherine telling me that her dad had died in a fire aboard his boat. Very difficult. And could she stab
Wait
her
a second.
Man.
Now your boat's on fire. Now I see a way out of this. How do you die on a boat?
It's a long story. I'm certain it's a long story that he doesn't care because it's his first wife's dad, right?
Wow.
So I was like, yeah. So she said, because she wanted the ring back. She called me and said, can I have
no,
the ring back?
No, you don't get the ring back.
Right? But you know. Fine. And he said, you know, and I'm not proud of the fact that I didn't tell her that I'd thrown it in a river.
Who cares?
I don't know. Instead, I took the cowardly way and I said I'd look for it.
She cheated on you with her fucking, who cares?
This is Canadian divorce rules, right? A week went by and she called again. No, I still hadn't found it. And it went on for another month until I found myself promising that I'd go through, do a thorough search of everything.
Right? He knows he's lying.
All right. He says, yeah, he said, I've changed a lot since then.
Who cares?
I think you were trying to get her back. You're saying here that you weren't trying to get her back, but I think you were trying to try to reel her back into the boat.
I don't even think he has to change it all. I think he's a fine guy.
No, of course not. No, I did this. I don't think you're incorrect. You actually, technically, that's your ex-wife. It's over. You
throw the ring in the... I mean, again, pawn it and get a car.
It's also weird that you were wearing the ring and not her wearing her father's ring, but I digress.
I don't think that...
It's all the thing. Yeah. I did do the search, right?
Yeah.
Just so I wouldn't be lying. I bet that I did do it, sir. Right? And as I started looking,
if you're lying and you know where the ring is, you don't have to do this.
You could just, again, you could just let time pass and then call again and be like, didn't find it. But again, he's trying to keep a verisimilitude, right?
Okay, good.
And then I felt doubly pathetic because I'm looking. I had to go through all this stuff as I moved off the boat. I was literally opening boxes and rifling through them, which I had done exactly the same thing a few months ago. I was reflecting on this and I opened up. I had this jewelry box. I opened up my jewelry box and it was a silver finished cardboard box with a lid that had once had a pocket watch or something, right?
Fascinating.
All right. I had it. It's just a little... But yeah. basically, he
when
goes
do we
through
get
this
to wife
series.
Number three.
He looks at this fucking pile of jewelry.
Yeah.
And at the very bottom of the box, he finds the fucking ring.
Wow.
From his father. Right?
Wow.
That's but that is creepy, right? That's like fucked up, right?
I think he was fucking hammered, but maybe he didn't.
I think he might alcohol might have been involved.
He was hammered after a dart tournament.
And then he you probably because think about how torn you are about lying to this woman that you don't give a shit about anymore. And so I feel like you probably went to throw it and you went, ah. Best keep it.
He was lying
like,
to himself
you
the whole time.
You lying to yourself the whole time, but who knows, right?
All right,
but
now, wife number
was freaky,
three.
Right? That's as far as it goes. I hope the second wife lived. Because he didn't say anything else. This is just the crux
what
of the story.
What about wife number three?
I just find it interesting that the story that he found the ring after he threw it away,
that
that's the story. That's the story.
Fascinating. All right, great. Fantastic episode all around, start to finish.
Really nothing but yep. one of the top episodes we've ever done.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think it's time for Triple L.
Absolutely. You got to love every day knowing, yeah, sure, you don't need a plan. Not when you have a full-time media job. You don't got to have a fucking plan because all you got to do is laugh. Laugh your way through that shit, right?
Uh-huh.
Because
you do
all we do, we laugh a lot, don't we?
We do. We have to.
We have to because if not, you know what we're doing? Not living.
That's true.
Because you have got to laugh every day. Because if you're frowning, it's a waste of lips.
Well, I mean,
and we are doing our best here. All right. And the struggle to stay mentally well.
It's hard.
In a sea of garbage.
Absolutely.
You try it on for size.
No, Henry, you do make me laugh every day. You do make me laugh
every
time.
Like, and you know what? We want to don't see. I think about something that makes me laugh.
I do too.
Something that you did. Maybe this something the way you farted.
Sure.
Maybe way you know.
I don't fart that much, but
you know, okay. God. Just thinking about. I remember a picture of you when you broke up. I saw that picture of you saved on my phone when you and Maura broke up back in the day when you were like when long term
15 year memory.
I
there.
Have that picture. That's my contact photo of you, and it's this like extremely bereft. Photo of you alone in that tiny room when you lived in the little closet room with the single bed
that's
with
really
you
nice.
With no pants on, and it's you holding up a bag of all of her stuff in a garbage bag, and that's my contact photo.
Now that
you.
Was not being rude. That was the best bag I had. So there you go. She was getting the Ben Kissel Royale treatment. All right, everyone. Well, thank
the cross
you.
City move.
Absolutely.
Guys, what a great episode. Come and join, see more of this scintillating comedy. April 8th. Go to GetItMadeLA/DisasterMan. You will see a screening. We're doing a little bit of a thing there at the Beverly Hills Theater. It's going to be fun. Check it out. And then March 8th, this is already, we are currently live on stage in Hollywood doing Classy Night Out. And it is fantastic.
Ooh, all right, everyone. Thank you for listening. And thanks for supporting the stream again. Every Tuesday, 8 p.m. PST.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
As they did.
Congratulations.
Bye.
Talk to you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.